The church is in decline. Attendance is decreasing. Membership is decreasing. Financial support for the church is decreasing. That's what a lot of reports are saying about the church today, particularly in the United States. A lot of studies and reports being done, and those statistics, in many ways, are real in many places. And yet, when we reflect upon our life here at St. Paul's, we may feel a certain unfamiliarity with that from experience here at St. Paul's. We are a faith community where new members are coming every week. Attendance is growing. The financial support of this parish grows. And so we wonder what those numbers are, but they're very real. And as I experience the church in the larger sphere, as many of my fellow clergy are in the midst of those struggles. In the Episcopal Church as well, it happens. It's interesting to note that the average attendance in an Episcopal church today throughout the country is 65. The average number of Episcopalians who gather in a church, that's over 7,000 congregations, so it's using a large number of congregations, some very small. But that's not our experience. And I'd like to talk with you today. We had our annual meeting between our two services today, and I always use this as an opportunity to reflect a little bit on our experience, our life here. I don't think the church is in decline. I think some of our ways of being church may be changing and shifting. And we're in a time of great transition. Some make the suggestion, whether you agree with this or not, because I'm not sure I do either, but there's an observation that every 500 years there seems to be an incredible transformation in the church. In the first few hundred years of the life of the church, the creeds developed. In the year 1000, you had this split between the East and the West, Eastern Orthodox Christianity and Western Christianity. 500 years later was the Reformation, and we find ourselves 500 years later. And there's great change going on in the church and great change going on in our culture as well. I think we as a parish here at St. Paul's have something to contribute to this conversation about the church on the larger scale. I think we have a role to play. I think we've been invited into that conversation. As you know or may not know, that St. Paul's is one of 10 Episcopal churches in the country that's being studied by the Episcopal Church for what is called its substantial and consistent growth over the years. We and 9 other Episcopal congregations throughout the country are experiencing that. Over 7,000 congregations. There's something unique that's happening here. And I think we have something to bring to that conversation. Waiting to hear the report that they're doing. We had 2 people from the National Church come this past year at 2 different times to be with us and to watch us and listen to us and hear about us, find out what's going on. I think here at St. Paul's, we have been a parish that in many ways has put together some incredible ministries here at St. Paul's. It's why so many of us are here. We are a parish that knows how to welcome. All are welcome. We are a parish where people find fellowship, relationships. We are a parish where people find pastoral care. We are a people who gather together for worship. We gather to learn. We bring our children here, our youth here, to be part of this faith community. And they are a vibrant part of our faith community. In many ways, they're a big part of our identity. And there's so many other ways that we find our life here. Our preschool, as well, is an incredible part of our community here. But I feel that we are a community that is being called to go beyond ourselves. We are what's referred to as in the church growth materials as a resource-sized church, meaning that we are at a size where we provide many resources to all of us who gather, a variety of opportunities and ministries, and for being cared for and also for being a caring person. But a resource size also means that we begin to be a resource beyond our building, beyond our community, beyond our facilities, and make a difference in the community. And how do we do that? How do we do that? One of the things that I want to share with you is a couple of stories. One is a story that we heard this past week from one of the candidates for Bishop Suffragan here in our Diocese of North Carolina. As you know, in a few weeks, we'll be electing a new Bishop Suffragan. And all of the candidates were here in the Raleigh area this past week for what's referred to as the walkabout. Get to meet them and hear them. And your delegates and clergy had that opportunity this past week. And one of the candidates shared this story, which I found very interesting. She said that she grew up in a medium-sized town as a child and still keeps in touch with quite a few of her friends who have now gone off and been married. Some of them have been married and starting careers and jobs and various different things in their lives as they spread out throughout the country. And she said a while back, they all came together in their hometown. I forget the reason for their coming back. It must have been some kind of a reunion. But they decided about four or five of the couples to get together and go out to dinner that night. And they sat around, and one of the people who was part of that group was someone they grew up with who was always looked upon as being the brilliant one. She was someone who went on for studies, earned her PhD, was now a university professor, was writing books about her field, and people were reading and looking to her as a leader in this field of study. So she was at the table at this dinner. And as they were talking, they began to reminisce about growing up as a child, and they were talking about a department store that they used to go to when they were growing up in their town. The department store was called Lazarus. Lazarus was the name of the department store. And they were talking about how sad it is that the store is no longer there. It closed, it shut down, it died. And someone in the table said, meaning to make a pun, you know, too bad Lazarus couldn't have been raised from the dead again. And they all kind of chuckled a bit about that, you know, that kind of a comment. But the one person sitting at the table, this brilliant PhD professor, sat there not laughing and kind of leaned over to everybody and said, "What?" They went, "Lazarus, you know, the department store, Lazarus. It closed. It wasn't raised from the dead." "Uh-huh," they're laughing. She says, I don't know what you're talking about. She says, "You know, Lazarus. In the Gospels, remember Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus and raises Lazarus from the dead? That's what we're talking about. It's too bad the story couldn't have been raised from the dead." She said, I don't know that story. I'm not familiar with that story. And it struck Amy, who was sharing this story. It was a way of expressing the fact that so much of our narrative, so much of our tradition and who we are, so much of it we presume is in conversation with the world. And we can't presume that. Many times the culture in the world we're in don't know these stories and don't know the inner kind of conversations we have among ourselves on these stories. And we have to know that when we go forth into the world. These are incredible stories to tell, to share, because they give our lives meaning. Now, many of us are here because we find some kind of meaning here. To me, that's what religion oftentimes is. It's the search for meaning. And we find something here in whatever way we're involved at St. Paul's. And that sense of meaning, that being grounded in meaning, to me is what gives us a sense of joy. It gives us a sense of who we are and a sense of wanting more and coming back. And it's that meaning that we want to communicate. And we need to, I would say, go forth into the world and try to tell these stories and share who we are. But perhaps we have to tell it in new ways. Here's the danger, though. And this is another story shared by Brian McLaren. Brian McLaren was a pastor for 25 years or so, and he stepped aside from that, and he's now a speaker, a writer, an observer of church life. And I find him very interesting and intriguing to read and to listen to. And he shared a story recently saying that the world is, the church is changing, the world is changing. We have to be open to new ways and new understandings, being grounded in our stories and grounded in who we are, but perhaps looking at ways to communicate it. He said, here's the danger. The church oftentimes becomes guilty of this. So the church sometimes is like an old friend. And you invite the old friend over for dinner at your house. You sit down at the dinner table and you say to your old friend, "So how's it going? What's going on in your life?" And he said, do you ever have it happen with this old friend, like the next 2 or 3 hours, just keeps talking and talking and talking, telling you everything about themselves. And you're sitting there, your eyes are glazed over, you know. You're kind of waiting for the person to say something like, and how about you? You know, how are you doing? You know, what's going on in your life? But no, this person just talks and talks and talks. What he's trying to point out is that sometimes we as a church are like that old friend. All we do is we just talk about ourselves. We talk about these inner things that are going on. And we think they're so important. You know? And that's what we talk about when we go forth. And it's people just sitting there sometimes, their eyes glazed over. And they're waiting for us to say, how about you? How are you? Let me enter into relationship with you and come to know you and perhaps share with you the meaning that I find in my life. I believe St. Paul's is poised for that in its life. We've got so many other things that we do well, and we still need to keep working on. We had our visioning process, and that was a wonderful expression of areas where we want to focus on, areas we want to continue to tweak and work on as we strengthen our community life together. But also in that visioning process was this expression of going forth, going into the world hands-on. I've been trying to, I said this at the 9 o'clock service, you know, when we come into church, we see the sign outside that says, all are welcome. And that is one of our strengths. We welcome all here. All are welcome. And I wonder what it would be like to have a sign that goes up over this wall, that as we depart here after worship, that would somehow say something to us as we go out into the world to share our story, to share who we are, and to listen and hear. It's already, I think, in our DNA. The seeds of these kinds of ministries, this kind of life, is already part of us. And I think we need to foster it. That's what I would suggest we begin to look at, fostering these ways of going forth. Let me give you a couple of examples. One of the ways that we've been doing for years is our preschool. Our preschool is a ministry that reaches out to the community. It's a ministry that has heard people in our community who are looking for a place, a safe place, a place they can trust to have their children spend many hours in their week. We've offered that to the community. And our preschool still does that. It's known in the community. And all preschools are now having some financial challenges in this economy. And our preschool still continues with its ministry, still continues to live into its vision, its dream. Another example you may not think about is the Lobster Fest. You know, the Lobster Fest is this incredible gathering where people come from all over the community to buy lobster and to be fed and to have a good time, and they get to experience a little bit of us here, who we are here at St. Paul's. Again, it's people coming here, but it's still kind of a reach out a bit. I run into people in the community sometimes if I'm in conversation with them. I recently went to Accent Urgent Care because of a cold I had, and shared with the physician that it was a Friday. I had a really bad sore throat. I said, I need to get my throat ready by Sunday to preach. And she said, well, where are you? I said, St. Paul's Episcopal Church. Oh, is that the lobster place? I bought great lobsters there. And I said, yeah, that's us. That's us. Let me tell you a little bit more about us, though. It opened up a conversation. You know what I mean? It opened up a conversation. One of the more powerful, adventurous ways that we're looking to live into this, I think, and we've been living into it for a few years now, is the Center for Hope and Healing. The Center for Hope and Healing is this ministry that we've been developing over the last few years that is truly a ministry of listening to those in our community, being a place for healing, a place for wholeness, a place to come and be heard and listened to, and to find that meaning, to find that wholeness where perhaps there is not wholeness, to find that sense of grounding where there is a dis-ease in one's life. The Center for Hope and Healing is that. And like any new ministry, any new venture, we've had some bumps along the way, working with the town, getting this going, but we're moving ahead and look forward to that growing as we move forward. And I want to let you know today that Sally Harbold will be transitioning from her role as associate rector here at St. Paul's to working fully at the Center for Hope and Healing. And over the next weeks and a couple months, a few months ahead, we'll be talking more about that, what that will look like. But Sally will be, in many ways, leaving behind the ministry that she has been so much a part of here at St. Paul's to be almost, I'm saying, like an adventurer going forth into this ministry that we're connected to, that has been given birth from St. Paul's to be this ministry in the community. So Sally will be moving and transitioning into that over the weeks and months ahead. Just a wonderful, wonderful ministry in our midst. So I want to share those thoughts with you today. I just think we're a parish that is just poised for some new things, some incredible things. I think we have the vision. And what I'm hearing from the congregation through the visioning process is that call to continue to be strong of who we are, to find a place for nourishment and strength, to learn about this faith, to be educated in this faith, to continue to gather together for worship, but to go forth and bring forth this new message of healing and hope. And so I encourage us today to reflect on that. We reflect a little bit of where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. And I think where we're going has incredible possibilities. And I think we have a voice to play in this conversation of the church as it continues to be grounded in its meaning and perhaps shapes that and expresses that and communicates that in new and daring ways. And we want to be part of that. And I'm glad you're part of this congregation. If you want to be part of a congregation that I think is going to make a difference, St. Paul's is that. If you want to share your resources, share your gifts, share your talents, share your money to make a difference in this world, St. Paul's is a place that's doing that. And I think we have great potential in the future to do it even more. So I'm glad you're a part of this community. And let us continue to dream together, live together, and move into this dream that God has for us.